Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
March 2nd, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And I am live at the moment, but most likely you're hearing the recording of it further on down the stream via your final slab of choice. All that good stuff, because we do release the podcast as we go. Now, this week's been a little short on live shows. Jack couldn't make it today. Chris has been under the weather. I've been working on other things. So, yeah, not a lot of live stuff coming out of the network this week. But I did re-release one old podcast, and hopefully I've gotten, like, very little feedback on it so far. So I don't know what anybody thinks of that, but that was an odd one. From the vault, and quite frankly, it was an interesting pick. Nature Boy picked it out, and hopefully you guys will enjoy these series of re-releases, because a lot of stuff that I've already done, some people are asking me to do now. So, and there is a purpose behind re-releasing some old podcasts. We'll revisit some interesting guests and topics that were covered at different times, and you can kind of hear how the network has evolved, because it's not just going to be my shows that are going to be re-released. So anyway, all of that happening through the network, and glad to be here on a Thursday with you. So I've only got one guest this evening, so we're going to go a little more than an hour in total, probably, but not much more, and that's the way this podcast will go. The live call-in show will be running, as far as I know, tomorrow night, and that'll be that for the week. However, starting next week, it's going to get a little different. We're going to have all kinds of releases, hopefully. And if Chris is feeling better, we'll have a lot more Get Mad with Chris Graves. So there you go. All right, now that I've caught you up on all that, Mike Swanson, the guy behind WallStreetWindow.com, is with me. The author of, I got to talk to him about a recent experience I had on Amazon, actually about his books. I found it funny. I was searching for other things, and Amazon kept shoving Mike Swanson's books at me. Now,
really?
I've already got Mike's books, but it was interesting, some of the books that they were pushing yours. The two that I always endorse and talk about on here, Why the Vietnam War, which is the first in a series of three, has some unique thoughts on the conflict there in the first volume already, and, of course, The War State. Both books were being promoted to me a lot, and to somebody else that was going through Amazon, looking at a few interesting topics. But The War State, that one with the red cover, you see it on the sidebar at O'Chelly.com. I endorsed both of these books, and did endorse The War State anyway before Mike was even on the show. But Mike's authored quite a few books, actually, including A History of Danville, Virginia, and some stuff on finance or money anyway. I don't know, because I didn't read it, honestly. But I do know that he has a really great style of writing that allows people to understand some pretty complex things via some very accessible language. So I like his writing style anyway. And if you go to WallStreetWindow.com, it's about more than Wall Street being the no-go there. Anyway, now that all that's out of the way, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's good to talk with you.
It is always good to talk to you, man. I mean, I love the new stuff that you're working on, and apparently we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Some of the, I don't know, maybe the issues of trying to cover and inform people about local issues. Maybe we'll get into that.
Well, yeah. I've had I think I mentioned a few weeks ago with you that, well, you know, a couple years, about 2 years ago, I noticed I was getting all this traffic from this app, Newsbreak, which specializes in local news. I think doesn't Kim have it? Or she did?
Well, she uses it, and a lot of people I know, actually, and anybody that I know with a cell phone has one of these kind of apps, and Newsbreak appears to be one of the more popular ones. You know, sort of like we used to get a news feed from, like, say, Yahoo or some of these other things. The apps have kind of taken over that business, and they feed you all sorts of news stories based on the interest that you've shown and the news stories you've read before, and they do custom things to local if you're checking on local news. Now, that doesn't mean that's all they'll give you. If you're somebody who follows, you know, say, criminal stuff, especially the Murdaugh trial, like, say, in South Carolina. By the way, a verdict came in on that, and apparently he's guilty on all counts, and they're going to sentence him. So that's a national interest story. But, like, say you show an interest in true crime events and trials and things like that, it'll start to feed you stuff like that. And then if you look at local news stories, it'll feed you local news. But it's very customized as to what it feeds to people. Again, there's your national... It's sort of like an attempt to do what a CNN does, right? Where they turn around and they focus on certain things and it becomes like a headline. You know, or, well, not what CNN does. What CNN used to do a long time ago when it seemed like they actually cared about news. And it wasn't about the programming exactly. It was a little different. But anyway, you know, the type of thing where it's like, okay, you want to know about stuff locally, of course. You want to know about stuff in your state, of course. You also want to know about the national points of interest, discussions, etc., right? So these apps, they feed them to you, and you noticed that one of them was sort of, and they pick up off of all sorts of different sources, many other news sources, because in truth, the app doesn't originate any content. It just funnels content from around the web, right? Which, again, is pretty much what CNN does now. If you ever take a look, it's mostly not their reporting, except when they send, you know, a very rare person out to a scene or to a war or whatever. Pretty rare. They're generally re-reporting something that originated somewhere else. So to me, I think it's fair game. And after all, isn't that what a lot of other aggregation does out there, whether it's talk radio or it's the News Vandal, which, you know, I still read. And Aaron, unprompted by me, actually covered a News Vandal release not long ago talking about the transhumanist stuff and all that, because it happened to be right up his alley. And JP puts things together based on a theme, but he selects that theme. These other aggregators, they generally feed to you based on your preferences. So they're tracking what it is you're clicking on, what it is you're bothering to read, the videos you're watching, and they feed you a variety of content. So, you know, it's kind of like, alright, I don't know. Some people get weird about it. It's like, oh, how do they know what I want to read? Or, well, you know, they also feed you ads constantly, which I'll get to that in a minute about your books. Based on things you say and do, which I find funny because, you know, it's like, what is listening to me? Because I know I only just spoke about this. I didn't do a search on the internet. I spoke about it in the vicinity of my computer and, oh, magically, there's stuff up on my screen that relates to what I was just talking about a little while ago, huh? Yeah, that happens all the time, and it's either on your small stupid rectangle or your big stupid rectangle. Either way, it's telling you what to think and what to focus on and customizing it to your points of interest. So, yeah, Newsbreak is a great thing, but, you know, in theory. Now, I don't know how it's working out. It seems to have helped, though, with traffic for you. But then a few weeks ago, you and I had a discussion because there was a disruption in that traffic flow. Like, steadily you were getting traffic from Newsbreak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what happened around New Year's, that I noticed the traffic just stopped.
Right.
And then I didn't really try to do any investigation into it or figure out what's going on for a couple of weeks. And then I look back and the traffic stopped on the next day after a post I did in which someone I know got a letter that was very racist in the mail and threatening to them. And
well, and they were offering a reward for if anybody
could help
them.
Yeah, they were offering a reward, and
yeah.
And they contacted the police. And I put the letter in a post and said, you know, what I just told you. And then, but it was, you know, had racist words in it and maybe some curse words too. And then the traffic all vanished the next day. Mm. Well, I thought, you know, that I was, my website was suspended, or banned. I read the terms of service and I thought, well, maybe, you know, and it says, I could see, you know, from reading that, how that might have happened. Like,
well, we talked about it too, that, you know, look, it might have been seen as you distributing racist language, even though you were reporting on something that happened, and you'd shown the letter that was written to the guy, which was badly written, but clearly was meant to be hateful and threatening to him. And, you know, and I said to you, look, sometimes you get hit with these things because you report on something terrible, and they, or the algorithm mistakes it as you promoting said thing. So it's possible they could just suspend you for that, or somebody would go in there and flip a switch that says, look, don't send traffic this guy's way because he's got hateful rhetoric that he's distributing one way or another.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, but I didn't know either.
I've never used the app on my phone. I just was looking at their website and I started using the web, looking at what local stories they're, you know, pushing and to see what's going on myself. But I was using the website, you know, not the app. I never used the app. Okay. I just don't like apps. But what I noticed on the website though was, even though they were no longer sending me traffic on the website, they would still use some of my headlines. Mm-hmm. But they no longer were linking to my website or even describing the story. In the past, what they would do, they'd have a headline, a paragraph or so from what I wrote, and then a link to my website. Mm-hmm. And you see this all over the internet, news aggregate websites doing that, you know, and it's legal, for them just to use a few sentences in link. I mean, there's no way you can stop it, basically.
Well, you know, and it's kind of them doing you a favor because they're promoting your traffic. So most people, it seems like, will monetize their traffic one way or another, right? Like I don't monetize through any of that stuff where it's automatic anymore, but a lot of people have that on their websites, either with Amazon or, you know, they have the, if you click through their website and you go to Amazon to buy something, even if it's got nothing to do with anything you're talking about, if they click through to Amazon after being on your website, if they use that link, then it ties it back to you. And allegedly you're supposed to get, you know, something from the sale or something from the reference or whatever. I mean, Google has the AdSense deal. You know, and they have a couple of different ad programs, but AdSense was the one that I actually played with for a minute. You know, and things like that, right? So you have all these different ways. If they go, well, look, we're kind of helping you by assisting you with getting traffic, so you could potentially monetize that traffic, right?
Yeah, that's right. And you can by getting traffic like that. You get enough of it. Now, what I was finding from the local stories I was doing was that I was getting about 500 to 1,000 visits to my website for each story, which is really quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, for stories of controversy or high impact, I guess, I would get more from Facebook, and I'd actually could tell that people would share it through the messenger, like a viral story. Mm-hmm. But, in you know, a lot of people have the perception that most people are getting their news, local news, from Facebook. Mm-hmm. And probably it's true that the most engaged people in a community are, but there's still a lot of people that don't use Facebook, don't like it.
Well, right. And I think demographic-wise, it's the older people that are still using Facebook.
Yeah, that's right, too. Right. And I think this app is and there's ones like it. It's not the only one. You can apply to them I just have never done it. I'm going to do it in a month or so, apply to all of them, because of what's happened. Okay. So I thought, well, they don't like my website anymore. And, you know, 3 months went by and they haven't returned the traffic. So I actually, over the weekend, made a new website. Just for local stories. It only took me 20 minutes to make it. Right. I already had the domain name, and you know, I just put up a WordPress thing and the theme. Right. It's called the Newsroom Syndicate. I'm not going to actually use it, but I set it up. I put stories on it thinking I would have to use it if I wanted to get back into this news break thing. Now, I never actually applied to them They just found the site and did all this themselves.
Now you do know a lot of people do this purposely, where they create a shell website, right? Which meant to be nothing more than a referrer website to something that they really want to build the traffic on. So a lot of people will create a secondary thing. They just, I mean, it's easy enough to buy a domain. And, if you've already got WordPress, you just, you know, install it on another site. Boom, done. And look, if you're familiar with how to blog, it's something that happens really quickly. You can just, you know, put out a bunch of cookie cutter stuff on the new referrer website. And now, you know, Google and everything else has to collect all the information on the new place, has to take new snapshots, has to do new crawls on it, right? And meanwhile, it adds weight to the original place that they really want to draw people to. And some of them create, it's almost like a solar system of a bunch of little websites that revolve around the main hub, right? And there are some people that have built a model on this. I don't know all of the ins and outs of it. But I've seen it where it's like this website is really just a referrer to send somebody somewhere else. And that's all it is. Is that what you did on purpose? Or did you think, no, I actually have to create a whole new news outlet?
Oh, well, both. I was thinking this will link to the Wall Street Window site for people who want financial stuff. But I thought I needed to create a whole separate website because of this news break thing. You're not sending me traffic. I thought they're never going to send me traffic again. So, but I'll return to the Newsbreak thing in a second. But, you know, everyone knows, I mean, the local news industry has been in financial trouble for 20, 30 years. The newspapers are shrinking. Newsrooms are shrinking as a result. There's fewer reporters. Most newspapers are zombie papers. Mm-hmm. Really, they've been bought out by this and that conglomerate, changing hands multiple times, and each time they fire more reporters and cut the cost more till there's really nothing left. And it's, you know, so I went back and on that topic and looked, I can't find, you know, the local paper, the main local paper, Godan River, is the website where I live. They don't report their subscriber numbers. They're owned by Lee Enterprises, which owns the Greensboro newspaper, which is a big city, you know, multiple hundreds of thousands of people. The metropolitan area is well over a million. They only have 20,000 subscribers. I mean, that's a shockingly low number. The Richmond Times-Dispatch, which was is the state flagship newspaper, it only has 40 to 50,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have had over 100 10 years ago. So that's how these things, you know, newspapers across the country are suffering. Because of the internet, the print advertisers, the classifieds, mm-hmm. you know, they all went to the internet and so the revenue streams have dried up and they haven't been able to replace them, with the internet themselves. So this is just a big problem now, and people are trying to find alternative models, you know, to this. And one, I mean, I've come to a conclusion of what may work, mm-hmm. but one model is just a weekly, free weekly that has advertisements in it. Mm-hmm. I've seen this in different communities and they'll have some news stories in it, a lot of advertising, and it's just free and they distribute it to wherever they can.
Well, yeah. And then sometimes they do that and then they create a really bulky, news website where you have only a certain amount of stories that you get for free. Then you have to like micro pay to get behind the paywall, right? Like, pretty much every newspaper has gone to this, from the New York Times to the various Gannett interests, right, where it's like, hey, look, you know, we gave you a couple of free stories, or we gave you one free story like the New York Times. I think they're down to one free story a month now, because that happens to me all the time. I click on something, and it's like, oh, well, you've already used your free stories this month or whatever, so if you want to pay, you can read this, but otherwise, you know. Now, I'm expecting that a lot of people, just for convenience, turn around and go, what is it, $5, $3, whatever. If they're running into that wall a lot, they choose to take the wall down. And I don't know what kind of business that is. I don't know if that really rakes in a lot of money or not. What do you think?
It's hard to imagine it makes a lot of money.
It's hard to imagine it makes a lot, but take away the cost of paper and ink and,
sure,
you know, and delivery and all that, and boil it down to just a couple of bucks, maybe it's not so bad, you know? Because, I mean, I do remember days when you could pay for a weekly newspaper and it would be, you know, less than $10 or whatever, and you had a 7-day delivery to your doorstep, right? So this is like delivery to your digital doorstep nowadays, if you're willing to pay. And you can go and check it when you want to. And obviously you can get on an email list and they'll alert you about new stories if you make choices. So almost like you get a digital version of that, you know, for a couple of bucks again. I always find it funny that the New York Times is like, support independent journalism. I'm like, okay, independent compared to what? And
that's another problem too. That's a, you know, a big problem. Is another model is the nonprofit model.
Yeah.
So, for example, in Virginia, there's a website called Virginia Mercury, and it's a nonprofit that's part of a larger nonprofit organization. They do decent articles, but it's slanted. You know, they're a liberal leaning nonprofit.
Right.
And now there's a conservative nonprofit. They have, I think the website's called the Center Square.
Well, look, liberal, conservative, but liberal, conservative, social activism, whatever the interest is.
Yeah.
If a 501c3 attaches a newspaper or news organization to it, right, they can just write that off as a part of their obligation to maintain their 501c3 status, right? So they can claim that that's where part of their expenditures went, because they take in money and then they're not taxed based on this status. So they have to have things that they do, and they can make that one of the things they do. Well, we actually serve the community by creating a newspaper, ostensibly, right?
Yeah, or you know, these nonprofits are being... can also be like propaganda, you know, basically. And there's a lot of them in the so-called alternative media. They're nonprofit LLCs.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, I've looked at some of the filings, though. Some of them get, you know, $500,000. You know, I don't know where the donors are, but you know who they are.
Oh,
but
no, they share their income, and what it is, they have these donors, and yeah, you end up with million-dollar industries, right? These little guys, the guys whose names are not huge. You know, we're not just talking Joe Rogan. He's commercially successful. That's a commercial industry. But there are people out there that now they say they're a news organization, or they say that they are, you know, alternative or independent or whatever. But the truth is that they're out there as a nonprofit organization. But that doesn't mean nobody gets paid, see? You can pay that host, who could be just the only thing that's really at the center of that whole universe there of paperwork, and they have a nonprofit status for tax purposes. Now, that means that people that make donations to it can write it off of their taxes as well. So you have a whole like tax scheme here, which is totally legal, and it doesn't matter if it's the Koch brothers or if it's, you know, libertarian lesbians of Louisiana. It doesn't matter, right? I made that organization up. I hope it doesn't exist, because anyway, the thing is, there's a world of possibilities there if you make yourself into a nonprofit organization, right? So all of these things could be efforts undertaken by the nonprofit organization, and you're operating under that. Now you're getting paid by it because you are doing a job for them. I mean, they are allowed to hire people and pay them wages to perform services, or hire them as independent contractors, right? Or maybe both.
Well, the thing is, like you mentioned the model of, you know, paying for the paywall, you know.
Right.
And now we're talking about the nonprofit model. And frankly, the paywall model, I just don't think that's viable. unless you know, you're the New York Times or something.
Yeah, but see, how are you going to know if it is or isn't? Because that's my point. The New York Times is not doing it because it doesn't work. I'm thinking. It must work to some degree. Yeah.
The pay subscription model, that's what I did for a long time with the stock market. And yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah, but paid subscription's different because you have a mailing list. It's worth whatever you can charge for it, right? There are people out there with those paid subscriptions that I know are charging a couple $100s basically for somebody to get what is supposed to be a specialized newsletter and some access to something or other, right? And that's it. A couple $100s, though, some people are paying monthly for that. And yeah. In other cases, you know, you got people like me who are charging a couple of bucks for, you know, like, look, you want access to some extra material, okay. You have the podcaster out there that's independently, again, not part of one of these nonprofits or anything, but they just decide to market and do their best they can, right? Where it's the half and half concept that I see all over the place. You can get the first half of everything for free, but if you want right. The second half, you got to pay. Or you have the early release or the bonus material concept, right? Like James Corbett, who
that makes sense to me doing stuff like that.
Yeah, like he's asking for $1 a month, which is first of all nothing. And secondly, what are your bonuses? Well, not much, except you get some material ahead of time. And unless you're a paid subscriber, you can't make comments on his site, right? So you can't engage with the community unless you pay your dollar. And therefore, you look at it and you go, well, if I really want to do this, I mean, how bad is $1? And his whole thing was, look, if I get 1,000 of you to do this, I'll quit my day job. And he exceeded that years ago, right? So no problem. And again, anything is worth what you can get somebody to pay for it. I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. I mean, look, the majority of the material that I produce and put out is all for free. It's out there. Now, it doesn't exist on the internet forever anymore because, I lost YouTube and I lost a couple other things. And I can't afford to pay for the storage to keep it up there forever, right? So... you know, I'm going to turn around and I'm actually going to sell the archives pretty soon. But that's something somebody could choose. They could buy the first 10 years of archives, you know, on a zip drive and done. If that's what they want. And you don't want it, don't buy it. You know, it's pretty simple. And I'm going to find out. I'm going to test that market and see if it's worth what I think it's worth. So, you know, that's okay. But this other scheme is different, right, with these nonprofits. And you could consider... a news organization that serves a particular community, if that's somehow linked to the mission statement and the declaration of what the purpose of the 501c3
is. Well, there's a flaw in the not. There's no perfect solution. I mean,
there's no perfect solution. But religious organizations, and I'm not trying to get you stuck on commenting on religious organizations, but you well know that there's plenty of churches who have done exactly the same thing, where they, you know, how do they pay for their satellite access? How do they pay for their television production? Because they're nonprofit. And what they do is that's part of their service that they're providing as a nonprofit, right? Technically speaking, they're paying to broadcast as opposed to being paid to broadcast, right? There's no commercials really during most church services. Unless they make a deal and they let the local TV station or the cable, you know, whatever. Like, they own the commercials there. If there are commercials during a church service. But you ever watch the Sunday services in your local town or anything like that?
I mean, I don't really watch them, but I know they're there.
I'm just curious because I've watched them here. And I'll tell you that they don't have commercials. And the ones, there's a bunch of them here. I mean, look, I'm in the Bible Belt, all right? There's a bunch of them here that broadcast from the local churches.
I used to watch one where the guy, it wasn't a service like you're talking about. Okay. But this was a guy, I mean, this guy had a show called What Does the Bible Say? And it was a call-in show.
Oh, I saw that. I like that one. Yeah, yeah. No. But he goes to a particular thing in the Bible, right? And he tells you, look, this is what it says. Now, this is what it really means. And then he takes calls from people. And, you know,
mostly. You seen it?
Yeah. And they take.
He's got white hair?
I don't remember him having white hair. I remember it's one guy at a desk. He's got a very minimal sort of background. You know, it looks like he's in an office, right?
Oh, you're thinking about the guy that was in Oklahoma a long time ago, I think.
Okay, maybe I'm mixing it up, but I remember this guy who used to sit there and go, look, I'm going to read you the Bible verse.
Yeah, I like that guy, actually.
I liked him, too. That's what I'm
saying. No, I'm talking about someone. This guy's local. But, yeah, that I think that guy's probably passed away by now.
Oh, I'm sorry. But the guy I saw,
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. All right.
Yeah, he was based in Oklahoma. He had an American flag, I think.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. There's a really funny video of
somebody walks into the office with a gun.
He says
get that boy out of here, and he grabs a gun out of his own desk.
Right, he grabs a gun out of his desk. He's got a pistol right there. Nobody in the world except you and me probably know what the hell we're talking about, but this was the guy was cool, though. I liked him because
he would read, but
generally outside of the time that one guy showed up on the set with a gun. He would just read a Bible verse, right? And he'd go, okay, people say this all the time, but what does it mean? And he'd look into the camera really with an honest, you know, like, all right, let me tell you what it means in our language, right?
Yeah. Because he always... The local guy here, he was... I get that. Now, that's kind of funny. He must have been inspired by what we're just talking about. But he did it in a... What he would do is say, what does the Bible say? Go to these verses, and then he'd say, all the churches are telling you wrong, but me. You know, he was like being a cult type person. And then he started attacking, anyway. But
see,
you know,
every one of these TV preachers, I'm sorry, Mike, I gotta say this.
Yeah.
Every one of these TV preachers, right? And I watched the local guys, like I said, I watched that guy out. I watched a lot of these guys. I used to love watching Jimmy Swaggart. I'm not kidding. When I was younger, I wasn't, you know, again, not a devout Christian or anything. But I used to like Jimmy Swaggart because even though, you know, he was screaming about how rock and roll is the devil and, like, he meant that, I thought, you know, until he got busted with the hooker and all that. I thought he was really interesting. I thought he was a great performer. And I thought he was, you know, but from him all the way to the most mellow guy, there used to be a guy with white hair that used to be always dressed in a really odd sort of priest outfit that was really colorful, but still plain at the same time. His name was Robert something or other, and he had glasses, and he seemed like he had been an old man the entire time he was on TV.
Robert Shuler?
Yeah, there you go. That guy. You know, I watched all this stuff, and I got to tell you, at every point in all of these broadcasts, they always do their thing. Here's the lesson for today, just like, you know, any presentation in a church, as far as I've always seen. But they all go to a thing of like, here's where they're telling you wrong, and I'm going to tell you the right thing. One way or another, right? Where like, you know, like, I haven't gone to a lot of Methodist services because that's actually what I was baptized as. You know, a lot of them would sit there and go, look, everybody takes this to be really, really harsh, you know? And, sure, it sounds really, really ugly and like people need to die for this, but really God loves you, you know? And, this is a generic explanation. God loves you, and, you know, the thing is, he's not really trying to judge you or send you to hell. You gotta look at it this way. You know, this is what Methodists do with everything, as far as I'm concerned. But these guys on TV, and even there, no matter what, there's always like a look. You know, here's what everybody, here's the verse, here's the thing, here's what everybody says it is, now I'm gonna tell you the way it really is. They all have the, I'm going to tell you what's really what now, right? And they reinterpret. And the Baptists do it. It's just there's more singing, right? Catholics do it. It's just, you know, you got to stand up, sit down, kneel, pray, sit, stand, kneel, pray. You know, it's like an aerobics workout at a Catholic church. I know I'm going to get all kinds of hate letters here. But look, the thing is, I like these guys. Who in a seeming, they seem to me like they're honest for the most part, that they believe most of this stuff. I know that there's the bling bling preacher and whatever, blah, 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 but, and I find that stuff immensely fascinating when things go wrong. Like I mentioned, Swaggart was an interesting performer and then he got busted with a hooker and, you know, but all of these guys do this. What the hell? I knocked you totally off track, didn't I? Because now I've diverted into this conversation about TV preachers. Mike, I am so sorry. What did I do to you here? You were starting to explain something, and you were talking about a local guy who does this, and I thought it was the same guy I used to watch, who I thought was great. Don't take offense to this, but used to do what you do with
your
books.
The Shepherd's Chapel, that's the guy you're talking about.
Yes, that's it. That's it. And I've watched John Hagee. I can't stand him.
No, but he's terrible.
I can't. Hagee is, to me, when you're encouraging everybody who's listening to you to believe that anything that is not within this very narrow scope of beliefs is the devil, I got a problem with you. Because you're literally telling people to believe that everything else outside of this very narrow lane is in league with the adversary on the planet, is evil. So what is the logical conclusion to that? If you feel as though you've been pushed, you're under attack, and there's evil all around, and that's in league with the devil. You know, look, you're supposed to obey man's laws, sure, but are you really that bad of a guy if you decide to kill one of Satan's soldiers? Because that's what they make it sound like. These people are really doing the work of Satan. And I can't stand that. I lost a host over exactly that objection I had. And I don't mind that I lost that host over it. But I will tell you that I don't like it. I find it very uncomfortable. And I don't... Look, you know, people can say what they want. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and believe what you want. But I don't want to participate in that kind of crap. Anyway. So you're making this point about this local preacher, right? And again, these guys have 501c3s, which will, they still got to pay for things. So they're paying the camera operator. They're paying the guy on the TV because now he's a performer, right? That might be part of his salary. Plus he gets a stipend as his pastor and blah, blah, blah. And so this is how these things sometimes evolve into, you know, the mega church crazy, the Tammy Faye and, what was that guy, Baker there, Jim Baker. You know, kind of scenarios, and other people build universities. Some of them build water parks. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, you're talking about this local guy. So what was the thing about the local guy? And then we'll go to a break, and I'll stop screwing with Mike so much and get back to the real point of the conversation.
I don't really remember why I even brought him up.
All right, you know what we'll do? We'll just take a break, Mike, because I'm so sorry. I get into these little tangents. I can't help it because... the world is a crazy place, brother. It just is. Anyway, we'll get into more of the craziness with the author of The War State. I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you or the book. I'm laughing at my stupidity for just totally, totally, totally going off on a tangent for no reason. The Ocelli Effect will continue in the second segment after this. Mike Swanson is with me, and I promise I'm going to let him talk a lot more with whatever time I got left with him. Stick around.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
The Ocelli.com radio network.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic
domestic claims. Judith Mary Baker, in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
For as little as $50 a month, you can buy an ad for your business, podcast, book, or any message you want heard on one or more of the Ocelli.com shows. To find out more, contact ads at Ocelli.com. That's ads at Ocelli.com. Be heard with us. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com.
In Denial. Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks, Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles started to really pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away.
Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
News, entertainment, and more. You will learn something, children's. Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Second segment of the Ocelli Effect here on a Thursday, and Mike Swanson is still with me by some miracle, because he just had to put up with me totally knocking him off track and taking him, dragging him through a discussion about TV preachers, which, again, look, I hate hypocrisy and all that, and of course there's plenty of them out there that are just con men, but at the same time, I have always found it fascinating, religious broadcasting, and the way it's worked and how it's evolved and how it's absolutely fallen right in line with modern conveyances. You know, I was just talking to Mike during the break about how during the pandemic especially, I had to help older neighbors of mine set it up so they could still see their church services because nobody was allowing them to go to church, right? Anyway, things like that happen, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to hear from the man behind WallStreetWindow.com, the author of The War State, and why the Vietnam War. So I will shut up now, Mike. I'm so sorry I derailed you during that, because we were talking about the news break issue and the news apps and how this all works and delivery systems versus the originators of content, etc. So where did you leave off that I screwed you up on, please?
I said I'd get back to that topic, and I went off of it. Started going off of it myself, but what happened was I installed the app on my phone to see, you know, what it looks like, and right. I found that some of my articles were on there.
Yep.
And what they were doing was just taking the content and mirroring it, not so they didn't have to link to my website.
Mm-hmm.
So and I noticed, oh, it's not just me who's been gone, but this Dan River, which is one of these Lee Enterprises big conglomerate, right. It's not on there anymore, and none of their other publications are. So to make a long story short, what I think is happening, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but it's like the experience you would have had, you did have with Facebook.
Right.
When Facebook started, it was easy for someone to set up a Facebook page and get some traffic, some engagement from it. And then at one point, that all stopped, and they wanted you to pay to get that engagement. Well, I think that's sort of what's happened with this app, that they gave us all traffic.
Right.
And now, you know, they're trying to essentially sort of shake down the publishers to officially join their program. Mm. And then, you know, I think you can get some of the ad revenue from them. So I think that's basically what is happening.
Okay, so they now have made themselves like, look, here's a taste of what happens if we promote your website. And now if you want a piece of that, you join our little affiliate program. Did you see a portal to do that? Like a place where you could go if you're sort of a news provider and you could join?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. And it's called, you can apply to be what they call a publisher. You see, which I never did because they're just publishing my stuff anyway. So I now have the perception that I have to apply to that, you know, if I want to keep getting the exposure I was from them, and which would mean I no longer would get it from, you know, the ads on my own website, but from sharing theirs, which I don't really want to do.
Right.
And I think that the big conglomerate around my area made the decision. I mean, they can't do it. But who's still on there are some radio stations that they put out, you know, like a blog, basically. They're all on there.
Right.
One of the other newspapers, which is privately owned, is on there too.
Well, see, for
the
them,
thing
it's
is,
all
there's
about,
lots of other apps.
Yeah. Huh? See, for the radio stations, though, it's all about their footprint online. So if their footprint is increased, it really doesn't matter if they're picking up ad revenue there, because what they're trying to market primarily is their ad revenue at their point of origin, right? So if you're going to click through and go to their station or whatever because they're writing an article, I'll give you, for instance, New Jersey 101.5, right? Every summer in New Jersey, it's a big deal that they have what they called the Garden State Arts Center for a long time, but somebody keeps buying it. It was the PNC Bank Arts Center. It was the whatever Arts Center, right? You know, eventually I'm sure it's all going to be like the Google whatever stadiums. And when they put out their list for the summer program, right, the concerts and events that are going to be held there, you know, people go to certain outlets to go get it. So if that feeds through to your news site, people are going to go to the radio station's website to get the complete list of the new stuff. Now, that's only going to be people in New Jersey or who live around there who are going to travel to the Garden State Arts Center, right? But for them, it's all about the Garden State Arts Center will pay them because they have this large reach. They have a large footprint online. it's not about them generating ads directly from that traffic. It's about them generating ads and connection on their radio station, because that's what makes them important. So it works for something like that. Now, you got a big news conglomerate. They've already got their own ad program. They've already got their own, you know, advertisers are placed here and on the website and, you know, maybe still in a physical form if they put out a paper, all that, right? So what you're telling me is that now they've switched it around. And it's funny, too, because you mentioned the Facebook thing. That's exactly how they changed it, where they started saying, we're going to give you, if I remember correctly, it was like, now you have publisher's tools. Like, they use the word publisher as, like, a step up. Whatever it is you're doing here, you can publish with us. So you become part of this larger group of publishers, like an accepted group, right? It's like a point on your resume now. I'm a publisher with Newsbreak, right? Okay. So anyway, go ahead, though. This is really interesting because the evolution is almost the same as what they did on Facebook, right?
Yeah, one thing with the Newsbreak thing, you can also just apply to be a contributor, and anyone can do that. And then they do this, they split some of the money with you. You have to write like 10 articles or something before you get anything. But that's what they do. But all this, though, I think you've actually hit on a way one could make it work. With your talk about the radio station. Mm-hmm. So, one big problem I see now for the local news industry is I set up this little website in 20 minutes called the Newsroom Syndicate. Now, mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to do anything with it. I've kind of decided I'm just going to stick to the Wall Street Window one, but, you know, I could do something with it. But regardless, the issue I have, or what I see as a problem, is it only took me 20 minutes to set it up. Yeah. You know, if you go to it, it looks nice. There's 8 articles on there of regional news of where I live. And the thing about it is, if you look at it on your phone, it looks clean and good.
Right.
And you see, you know, if no one knows, if someone just came here, they don't know the names of the other news outlets, and you said type this in, they think, oh, that's a local news thing. Well, if you go to this conglomerate website, conglomerate-owned newspaper, Go Dan River is their website.
Right.
If you put that on your, and then go on your phone, and then compare that to my little thing, what you'll see is there's more local headlines on mine.
Right.
You know, they have all these national state headlines, cause, you know, they got stories from their other conglomerate outlets. They only have one or two reporters here, so they don't have, you know, they don't have many local stories. So they're just flooded with national and regional news, like a headline, hangman nooses found on Navy destroyer. You know, it's not local. Mm-hmm. So, what I am saying is that this is a big problem. I think more and more people are getting their news from the phone. Mm-hmm. And how do they differentiate? It all looks the same, you know. All the websites kind of look the same on the phone. How do you know what's what? What's propaganda or just nonsense?
Well, that's why it's still workable for, like, your local TV station and your local radio station to have a website, because people are familiar with that. They know it's local, right?
Yeah.
Now, does that mean in reality that's what's feeding the local news? I mean, I take a look at the different affiliates here, and indeed, they do local news. But they don't have that many people they send out either. Even the network stations. No. They got, like, 2 people. And it's too funny. They show up with, like, you know, basically an iPhone and a stand and a stick. They film themselves, no cameramen anymore, right? And they just arrange to meet with local people. Well, and
And the thing about local news is most of it is generated from press releases that are simply reprinted, especially all the crime stuff. They're just reprinting what the police gives them.
Oh, yeah. No, I've gone over that a bunch of times. That, you know, yeah. It's like the police say, well, that's because that's it. Exactly. That's what
they don't even, if you, they don't even say that. I mean, the news will say that, but the newspapers and the websites don't even say the police say. They just flat out reprint.
Yeah.
These press releases from the police without really saying they say. You see what I'm saying?
Right. They reported it as fact. I know.
Well, you don't know. I mean, you don't realize it's a press release. The regular reader.
Well, no. Like, I'll tell you, when you read a story about, okay, so a bunch of things will happen here locally for me where there's like, you know, a convenience store gets robbed or something. It's a very common story. But when you read it, it's like the suspect did this and that. Just by reading the language, I know that somebody cut and paste that from the,
that's right.
From the media liaison at the sheriff's department or at the local PD. It's exactly in cop language. So it's like, this is what the cop said from their liaison officer. That's it. And they gave him a news release. Yeah, they got an email, with the information in it from the cops. That's it. Nobody went on the ground to go look at the scene, to go, you know, can I interview somebody who actually saw something? No, none of that. It's just straight up narrative. And the narrative comes from, like you said, the press release. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, that's what's there now, because there's not enough people to go and do these other things I just talked about. Like I said, well, can we track down a witness? Should we look at, you know, what is this place next to somewhere else? Oh, the guy ran off the lot over to the left. Well, what's over there? They don't even know. Or they might know because they're familiar with the area, maybe. But honestly, they have no idea why. They have no idea if it was on a highway, if it's on a local street. I mean, nothing. It's just, well, they just got the word from the cops and that's it. Moving on. Next story. Right? Because they gotta create enough content to keep their feed full. And of course they grab the national stories and the normal headlines and here's your other points of interest. And then they create a couple of things like, you know, local TV stations have like a, like here's the rumor out there and now we're gonna fact check it. Have you seen those things locally, by the way? Is that a pattern in Virginia too?
I haven't seen that in the newspapers. I mean, there's people that do that on Facebook.
Facebook, but on TV they do it a lot here. I find the TV thing interesting because that's where the root of most local reporting is for Macon, from the TV stations. They do the most.
Mm-hmm.
Most people can't even name the newspaper here and don't even know about the newspaper out of Atlanta, which might cover this. They don't know any of it.
Well, that's what's happening here. Yeah. I mean, most people, especially the one I've been mentioning, this Go Dan River thing, I don't know. Most people don't subscribe to it. I mean, where I live, I mean, I don't know how many subscribers they really have. Most people are just going on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or these apps. That's where they're getting their news from.
Right.
Frankly. And I'm saying that it's all, you know, I see a problem in people getting all their news from their phone.
Me too. Because again, it doesn't, you know, when, look, I watch Kim do this, right? Because I don't have a phone. But I watch her do it, and she follows a bunch of stories there. And, you know, look, she's a little atypical, right? Because she's got me in the house. I mean, you can't be normal and have me in the house. But you got her checking out these stories, right? And then when it comes down to, okay, well, what about a local event? Well, that's none of that stuff is on the news break app. None of it. I got one story recently, and I'm going to cover it tomorrow. And we do the naked news thing to try and have fun on Friday. Apparently, there was a guy who stole an ambulance. Anyway, we'll get to that tomorrow night. And obviously, since I said naked news, he didn't have his clothes on. So we'll get to that story. But that came through the Newsbreak app. And I didn't see the local coverage, but I think they picked it up from the TV. You know what I mean? So here we go. They're feeding it back through the TV, but really the TV news is sadly in better shape than anything that resembles a newspaper. And God help you if you're going to rely on those apps to deliver your news. But that's what most people are doing, Mike. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know the time's going. But you know, today I went. I told you before the show started.
Yeah.
I went to a meeting that was put on locally, and one reporter was there.
Oh yeah, I wasn't sure if you really wanted to talk about all that.
I'm not going to go into any details, okay. But okay. There's allegations of improprieties. It was over this thing.
Well, let's give a general explanation of that, right? It could be that things have been misrepresented to the people locally about what's going to happen regarding a fairly large project. And this is a very typical generic story, right? What's really going on with the new theater, with the new ball field, with the new whatever, and is there deals there that are going to benefit, you know, us locally? Is it going to bring jobs? Is it going to bring, you know, money into the community, etc.? Right? So these are local concerns. Now, where do you turn to get the latest on that? I mean, some people still have the cable access. You know, you can watch the town meetings, or you could, God help us all, go there and attend them. If you know
well,
about
them. Well, that's the thing ahead. Is, yeah, what I, you know, there was one reporter there, but he wasn't with the conglomerate newspaper, the nonprofit news outlet that's appeared regionally. No one from, and they have the local reporter. They weren't there.
Right.
None of the TV stations were there.
Right.
I went there. And there's allegations of impropriety.
Right.
And I think the people involved in this are hoping, well, no one will just report on it and it won't matter. Yeah. And I don't know what the newspaper's going to say about all this. So it's that's one of the big issues. One of the things I discovered.
Well, here's a funny thing. I want you to put a pin in this and see what happens just for yourself, even if we don't discuss it on the show. Tell me if that conglomerate puts out a story about it tomorrow, though. Because,
they won't.
Well, but maybe it will. Maybe it will. And maybe it'll be, you know, from a certain slant. And yet, you know, for a fact, they didn't have anybody there to cover it.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So where did they get the information from? That might be an interesting study in and of itself. You know, again, locally, I saw something not too long ago where there was a controversy about they were going to allow some more convenience stores to come into the area. And because of certain reasons, it's like, you know, look, if you have too high of a concentration of convenience stores, it causes an effect on the community. And the community wasn't aware that this was going to be approved, right? Until somebody kind of went on a crazy campaign on Facebook or something to start telling everybody that this is going to happen. But it was weird because none of the news outlets got into it until after this Facebook campaign got a bunch of people up in arms who actually showed up at a town meeting. Then the TV station said, well, there was a bit of a, you know, controversy over at a town meeting, and they didn't really explain it. I don't know if they're, you know, on board and they're already getting ready to take advertising dollars, say, from, you know, let's just create, you know, the H Wagon convenience store chain. It was a convenience store chain, a national chain, that was going to bring a whole bunch of stores into Macon. And the argument is we already have enough of them, and it attracts a certain kind of clientele and does things to certain areas when you have 24-hour convenience stores. So maybe the community doesn't want them. But they were going to sneak it through, and apparently they didn't get away with it. So the whole story changed, right? That's when the local TV news finally picked up on it, though. Before that, it was a guy, just one guy on Facebook, who just said, no, we don't need this. In our town, don't approve it. And it just became a thing. Now, that's an organic situation where somebody uses the tools, but the news outlets here, nobody covered it up to that point. Nobody. So, I don't know. It's very interesting to see what happens, though, when enough noise is made about something that one of these other, you know, outlets picks it up, like that big conglomerate, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had something similar happen where, you know, where I live, there's a casino coming,
right.
But it's a Caesars casino, and because I do stock market stuff, I looked at their earnings call in December, and they talked about they were going to put a temporary tent here. And I did a post about that.
Right.
And the all the other news outlets immediately took what I wrote and put it in their articles without crediting me.
Well, there you go.
and then they even got some of the facts wrong. You know, and
oh, that's just like, great.
They got one, I don't remember what it wasn't hugely important, but some fact they got wrong, and I was like, jeez. So they just ran after one another, repeating it. You know, one of them got it wrong, and then more and more people just kept repeating that their story.
Then it just got repeated. It was like that thing I pointed out with the JFK article, where it was how do you get 103% of something because somebody didn't check the math right there, and then you see who repeats it, right? It's really funny to watch the parrots play. It just is. Look, I've taken you a little over an hour already, Mike, and I appreciate your time for sure. We started a little late. Of course, if you're hearing the podcast, you don't care. But anyway, it is what it is. Is there anything else you want to cover? I mean,
we'll catch up next time.
Oh, definitely. Hey, look, are you going to be around next week? Because
I won't be here the next week, but most likely the week after, yeah.
Okay. Well, one of these weeks, I got to get you and Larry back on the same show. Because
sure.
The funny thing is, next week I got Larry. I don't have you. Every week, I only got one or the other, either Mike or Larry. Larry Hancock, of course.
I have a I have an article, a draft of an article I wrote 2 weeks ago about the Kennedy assassination and some.
Oh, about the books we were talking about and Vietnam and all that.
No, about some of the LBJ tapes.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
oh.
So that's something I'll definitely hold that until I'm sure I'm on with you.
Yeah, definitely, because I actually want to play some of the pieces of the tapes if you want, and we can go over some of this stuff because it might be really interesting. Especially, you know, look, people have had access to the LBJ library for a long time, but I don't think they've actually explored it all.
Well, these are tapes no one knows about.
There you go. I didn't want to spoil it. I was kind of going to give a hint at it, but there you go. I know this already, but I'm really looking forward to that. When you're ready to release that, yeah, absolutely, let's do it. Because by the time you come back, it'll be like the 16th. Today's the 2nd, so Larry's on next week. Yeah, it'll be the 16th when you come back. So you think you'll have that LBJ and JFK assassination article ready?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Because it does have something to do with the JFK assassination, right?
Yeah, I've got to double check some of the one of the problems, not with the topic of the Kennedy assassination. I have to double check everything I write because,
of course,
I fear, especially something like this. But I fear there's stories that, like, one of the things I did in writing this is I went and found LBJ's diary schedule. And the Madeline Brown story is that she was with him the night before the assassination.
And guess what?
And he was with Kennedy.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know this part.
I didn't know that, you know, but so you got to verify everything.
No, you do, because here's the thing. I got a couple of pieces of evidence that I could tell you he was nowhere near being private, and she's supposed to be at a hotel meeting with him and this
right,
and that.
That's right.
Not if he's in D.C., sir. You can't, you know, what are you going to tell me, that there's two LBJs? You know, I know we got the two Oswald theory, but you need two LBJs to accomplish what she says and what appears to be in the record. So, but hey, pay no attention to me. Madeline Brown was absolutely authentic. Nah, she got knocked up by him. I'll give her that. But, you know, outside of that, come on. She was not his mistress. Like, she was the only one or rare or special one. Two, half her story can be disproven by all sorts of official records that nobody had any idea anybody would ever be able to see. And there's unofficial records that also contradict her story pretty harshly. But that's okay. That's okay. Right, Mike? I mean, you know. Maybe there's two LBJs.
Well,
what do you think?
It was a good story.
It was a good story. I give that, too. You know, I even said to somebody off air not too long ago about Judy Baker. I said, you know, she did write a pretty good piece of fan fiction. I'll give her that. But other than the fact that it is certainly fictional, and it is somebody who got, you know, fanatically involved with the assassination and the character of Lee Harvey Oswald, as a literary device. Outside of that, yeah, nothing really all that useful in there. I mean, it might be a master class on how to BS people. But anyway, I'll leave that for another day. Mike, anything else you want to say before we go? And also,
Good. Everyone stay tuned for next time and your next show.
Yeah, definitely, because I think we're going to have a little fun with this LBJ thing, and we might even play some of the tapes. If I don't know, Mike, did you get those excerpts together, or you think you can by the time we come back in 2 weeks?
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. I'll get some. We'll be playing some eventually.
Yeah, definitely. I absolutely want to be able to play some of the MP3s and stuff maybe you've never heard anywhere else. Would be really nice. Because we're all familiar with some of LBJ's tapes, right? I mean, famously, people have shown the Hoover conversation, you know, where he says, right. You know, was any of those shots meant for me? He's asking Hoover this, and people go, look, he was acting. And I'm like, he had no clue anybody was ever going to hear that. You know, come on, let's be real. But anyway, again, these are my problems, not yours, Mike Swanson. But go over to WallStreetWindow.com, be in the know. WallStreetWindow.com, and of course, The War State and Why the Vietnam War. I know a lot of you have already bought these books, but they got a really cheap price on Kindle. Oh, I didn't even get into Amazon pushing your books at me, but we'll get into it next time. Mike, thanks for doing this with me. Anyway, guys, stick around and listen to whatever comes up next on the Ocelli Radio Network and all. And no matter who you are, where you are, or when you are, I want you to remember that I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect tonight.